Hello, everybody, and welcome to the second Live, Work, Play Japan podcast. Today, we've got something very exciting for those of you who want to go to Japan and learn some great skills and get some experience working at a Japanese company. Martin's going to be talking with Michael Meyer from Internship Japan all about the work that they're doing to help educate and build internship programs within Japan. Be sure to go to www.liveworkplayjapan.com/podcast for the show notes. They're going to be highly informative. We've got a lot of extra resources in there. And also, if you like the podcast, you can subscribe there to get all of our future podcasts as well as other goodies for our loyal fans. Without further ado, cue the music.
Thank you, Michael, from Internship Japan, for coming on this interview here with us. Here coming to you from Live, Work, Play Japan, and this is Martin speaking to you, and we're speaking with Michael.
Yeah, hello, nice to meet you.
Nice to finally get to talk to you. And so just for our audience to understand, so can you tell us a little bit about what is Internship Japan, and what do you guys do?
Yeah, of course. I'm part of a team, and we are call ourselves Internship Japan. We are a nonprofit organization. All people are volunteers, and we are working for the mission to establish and support a new proper system of internships in Japan, because we believe that the system of internships itself that people from the West maybe accept as a standard thing for their, you know, education, for their student life, that system is not so known in Japan, and we want to make it known, especially to Japanese companies.
Oh, great.
And give people from abroad a chance to experience and try out Japan, and especially the Japanese working environment with that method of internships.
Awesome. So basically, so these internships, how is an internship really quickly different than a job?
An internship, it's a good question, because the word itself, or the definition of an internship, is not 100% clear. If you look up Wikipedia, and actually we quote Wikipedia in our presentation, just to give people an idea what it could mean, but what it mostly doesn't mean is that it doesn't mean that you can work for free at a company, and you are just cheap labor. That's definitely what an internship should not be. An internship, from our definition, should be is an opportunity to gain practical work experience at a job that you're interested in, or a business you're interested in. It should be a entry opportunity to a company. If you want to come to Japan and you want to work in Japan, it's a good chance that your internship will, lay the grounds for your future career in Japan, same company or, different place.
Great.
But it should definitely be something that both parties can benefit from. So, yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. So, so you guys at Internship Japan, do you place jobs? Are you like an HR company or?
No, we're not. In the future, we have a we started around 2 years ago as an officially. We're turning one in September, I think. We turned two in September. Thank you. We founded officially as a something called Ippan Chaden Hojin, which is a non-profit type of organization in Japan. We're not an HR company yet. In the future, we have it outlined in our mission, everything. We want to be a full service provider. So we want to give people the chance to contact us, and we help them directly place them companies or use our partners or members to place them. Right now, we mostly use LinkedIn and a solution that we are currently developing to help people. It's more about helping people to help themselves.
Use LinkedIn. That's really You know,
that's where I'll start it.
Wow, that's interesting that LinkedIn is something I really don't think of as a lot of Japanese using. I don't see a lot of my Japanese former colleagues there, but.
And that's where we come into play. You know, we not only try to make LinkedIn known or the opportunity to get Japanese companies to that platform, but it is, you know, because most people who want to come to Japan, they come from all over the world, but at least they share English as the, you know, the first foreign language or whatever. So LinkedIn is quite popular for English-speaking people, English-speaking business people in Japan.
Yes. That's
not necessarily Japanese people, but you know, it's always easier to place someone from outside of Japan in an international company in Japan.
That's
also changing.
You know, that's interesting. You mentioned LinkedIn because I remember very vividly about a year or so, I was at a meeting. I was called. I was interpreting for a meeting. And, you know, it's this big IT company. You can imagine all these Japanese, probably 20, 30 heads of this department were meeting this regional head coming from they were my client, but their client, essentially, this big pharmaceutical company, regional head, and he's Spanish. And so they ask him, they start handing him their meishi, you know, their, what do you call those? In English,
business cards.
So they're just handing him the meishi, and they're asking him for his meishi, and he just looks at him. He announces clearly to 20 or 30 of these Japanese business heads and the CEOs there. He says, "Look, it's the 21st century. We don't use business cards anymore. Everyone's on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. If you want to know me, get on LinkedIn. Find me on LinkedIn." And it was this very awkward kind of thing for me to have to interpret back into Japanese. But it was kind of funny. And they all were like, there was some side conversation. What is LinkedIn? What is he talking about? And some people had knew and some people didn't. It was pretty funny.
Yeah. And for me, it was funny too when I came to Japan. I was already a Facebook user for years and years. But where I'm from, Germany, we separate business and you know, private stuff, you know, very strictly. But it's not the case in Japan. More people do business and networking in Japan on Facebook than they do on LinkedIn.
Absolutely.
Which I find absolutely fascinating. LinkedIn is just a platform because this is all where it all started. This is where I met Verena Hopp, my partner in crime in digital Japan. This is where most people have a good chance of finding, like-minded business people or students who are interested in
awesome.
Business. But it's just a platform, out of many.
So then, how did you mentioned Verena? So who started Internship Japan, and how did it get started? What was the goal essentially, or the reason, the catalyst? Japanese would say, you know, kikake wa nan desu ka? You know, what was the main thing that you guys got started for?
It all started with Verena. She is the heart and you know, the heart of the whole thing. She created this LinkedIn group when was it? 2012. Oh, it kills me for that because I'm not 100% knowing. It's something in November. I remember that. She created that group. She wanted to help people. Simple as that. She wanted to help people get an internship in Japan. And I mean, now with over 2,000 people in that group, and it's a good example of, you know, how time and dedication and passion. That's what she brings to the table. I'm more the technical kind of person, but I also want to help people. You know, how bringing all this to the table can really change people's lives. And it also did change my life because even though I'm well over 30, not a student, the way I met Verena and joined her in all this was that I wanted to come to Japan having a fascination for the language, for the culture, for the martial arts. I wanted to like give it a try, and I thought, being a little bit naive, I guess, even already, you know, well experienced, I thought, okay, I have business experience. I have over 10 years of, you know, knowledge and experience in, yes, in business. So, but I also have to learn the language, which is a really important fact if you go to Japan, more than any other country. That's something that you guys do, you know, on your site, you know, explaining people what you, what you can expect, what you should know, maybe.
Right.
And I knew.
We're trying.
Yeah. You will. So we did. So I had to learn the language. I knew that. So I went into a language school first. And but I thought, okay, I paid for the school. That's all good. But I have to make money at least, or get some experience and get the foot in the door, whatever company will have me. But I thought, you know, I thought I would be a good deal because I have the work experience already. I don't have the cultural aptitude yet, but you know, I should be fine. But yeah, little did I know that it was actually very difficult. Yes, to find something.
It is
because
quite difficult. Yeah,
the concept itself of an internship was not known to Japanese companies, or it was very limited to students from foreign universities. And even then, if you're lucky to get placed in a Japanese company, your responsibilities or it's just a whole different world out there in Japan.
You're working for them. There is no, like, what do you mean, like, lower responsibility? You're, unless you're like a mother or have a reason, you're bearing child, then they might understand, and they're trying to be more understanding now. And, you know, allow, especially working mothers and sometimes very little maybe working fathers. But that's rare, you know. So if you're an able-bodied young person, then you've got no reason. You got to come in early, and you can do zangyo. You can stay later. You're healthy. That's a lot of what I heard. I remember. And
I mean, that's a whole different story, you know, how Japanese company work, how the Japanese working environment is, and as a foreigner, that you have to adapt to it, or you don't. If you don't, then you can't work in a Japanese company. That's simply as that. But with an internship, even if they have something like the kind of an internship system, but it's just very limited to 2 weeks most. You follow people around. You don't get any responsibility. You don't get any projects. And that's very different from what an internship should be for example, students at universities, right? To get these credits, you have to submit a report at the end of your internship. And that has to, you know, have a lot of details on what you actually did. And so it's all very changing right now. And part of it is hopefully, well, because of the work that we do. But when I came to Japan over 2 years ago, I just had no luck in finding anything. And I met Verena on LinkedIn, and I talked to her, and she gave me all these ideas and, you know, tips, where to go and what to do. And but just, you know, I was very frustrated because it didn't work. You know?
Right.
And I thought, hey, but what's wrong? You know, I have work experience. I should be, you know, I'm almost working for free for these people.
Where's the call? Why aren't they giving you more responsibility? You know, that's really interesting. In our last podcast that we did, I talked with my former roommate, Marco, and he talked about he quit his job and, you know, he was in this desperate situation, had to go out and get a job. And I think Japan, what he used, and, you know, it was kind of our idea. You kind of got to be a little bit different. You can't quite, as a foreigner, there's the Japanese way, then there's our way, and then there's this kind of in between. And sometimes it's actually really important to mix match or do something in between. And what he did, I don't know if you did this when you were looking for jobs or looking for more responsibility, or did what he did essentially is he went, you know, door to door to the offices, brought his resume, and kind of made the top people look at him. And he got kicked out of a few places. But it worked. He ended up getting an interview his second day, or his first day. He didn't like that job. He ended up waiting 2 weeks later, and it actually ended up, he later was offered a salary more than he'd ever received. Now, again, he wasn't looking for a job. He wasn't looking for an internship. So it might be a different process. But my experience and what I've seen is that from other successful examples of foreigners in Japan is we have to do something a little alternative a lot of times to get what we want and to...
Yes, I agree. You have to be brave. And you have to be... So Verena coined that phrase, AAA, always actively approach.
If you just sit
and send out your CVs and wait for them to come to you, it won't work.
That a lot.
In Japan, it's so much important among the foreign, you know, community of foreigners. You have to be different. You have to be brave. You have to knock on some doors and sometimes even kick in some doors. You have to be, of course, you know, culturally mindful of,
yes.
especially in Japan, what is a big no-no, what is a good way. But, you know, one of the biggest reasons for us to promote the internship system is that both sides can learn from each other. And that's what we hope that Japanese companies especially see as an opportunity for themselves to think more globally. You know, they are in the, you know, on the verge of expanding or having opportunities to expand on the global market, but how they sometimes don't know how to do that. And
yes.
with an internships, you know, amongst the rank, that's something they could use.
Yes,
they could use the knowledge, the language skills of that person that used to be an intern that maybe becomes an employee in the future to go to you know, on that market later. So that's we call that value add.
Yeah, that is a value
that
add.
That works for both sides, basically. Yeah, for young people who want to experience Japan, of course, the benefits look much better on paper. You know, hey, you're in Japan. You know, you can study language. You learn. You see interesting things. You don't have at home. But it's not just a cool thing to do for interns. It is
yes.
so very much a very cool thing to do for Japanese
companies.
Yeah, or companies in Japan.
So you were telling me earlier before we started this interview that there are some successful stories that you have of and I want to understand for our audience too to understand. So what are some examples of successful placement and maybe a few success stories? Then maybe if you have any examples, or you don't have to of course not mention them by name, but let us know what is not so successful. What makes someone successful and what makes someone not so successful?
Yeah. So. No, I mean, it's no secret. We publish the success stories that we know of on our website.
Oh, great.
And it's,
what's the website
even
again? Can you tell us?
It's www.internshipjapan.org.
All right. We'll put that in the show notes too, but just so you hear it, it is internship.org. Okay.
Yeah, internshipjapan.org, yeah. So the success stories are something that I think it's the most clicked part of the website because of course, a lot of people who are looking for internships from abroad come to our website. We have fascinating stories of young people, but they all share something in common. They followed that AAA rule. They actively approached people. They were brave. They asked a lot of questions, maybe stupid questions sometimes, but the point is that they did something. They didn't give up. They had help. Of course, we helped them at some point. We have this lovely story of the girl, Christiana. She is from Romania. She studies in Copenhagen. She got an internship in sports management. And one of the big reasons she got it was she did the whole thing, posted her profile in our LinkedIn group, and a Japanese person, and we also have his interview. We have a success stories on our page, but we also have something we call expert interviews, where we see the other side of the the business side, why companies think that internships are good for them. So this person, Onoe-san, he saw that post and he remembered someone that he knows, and he connected them, and that turned out a great experience for her because she was able to do
okay.
That.
So he did the shokai. He introduced her.
Yeah,
because that's what it's all about in Japan. I mean, my experience. I don't know about you guys, but you can go. And it really does help to go and put yourself in front of people. But eventually, at some point, you need that shokai. You need the introduction, or else people just aren't things just don't move in Japan without introductions, right?
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's what something that I learned. You have to surround yourself with good people.
Yes.
You have to do your networking. You know, I worked in sales before back in Germany. So, you know, shaking hands and, you know, getting potential clients was always important. You know, just working with people that you actually like, you can get along with, and you yes. share a common interest and mission, just like Irina mm-hmm. and I do. The altruistic approach is, you know, helping people because we know how difficult it is to come to Japan, difficult it is yes. to adapt to this country, not just by the language, but also by the culture and your expectations. So it's always good to help people. Verena helped me, other people helped me, and now I'm in a position after 2 years, I can help people. And that's a great feeling. It's rewarding. And you guys too. I mean, you help with what you do. You help other people who are nervous coming to Japan.
But yeah, which we try. We try, you know. And I think one thing I want to say really quickly, there's several things you just said there that are pretty awesome. One is, you know, it's good to help people. And I think I noticed that people that are helping other people get jobs, whether they be in Japan or anywhere, these people, they never seem to be without a job. You know, I don't know. That's kind of like a principle of this universe we see, you know. But in Japan as well, people are always kind of introducing, never seem to have any problems finding things. You also mentioned, you know, it's good to – that Japan is a unique country. It really is a unique country. And to this day, I don't know why people have got the interpretation on our blog that we don't promote Japanese. We do promote learning Japanese. Of course, people can get jobs in Japan and internships, sometimes maybe without Japanese. I've seen that, and I know that there are people that have that. But there's always an advantage to be bilingual because this country, you know, it has its own ways and it has its own language. And I just want to say my personal experience that Japanese is not just a language for Japan. That is a misconception a lot of people have. I'm mm-hmm. living right now. Some people know I'm in Ho Chi Minh, and I see – there are so many opportunities for Vietnamese and other people here who speak Japanese. You go to Bangkok, it seems like the second language is Japanese. It's everywhere you run, you know, you go really? To Sukhum Veet, people are speaking Japanese. And if you are bilingual, I met a guy on a boat in Phuket, and he spoke, I met people who speak, you know, Japanese, and they were hired on the spot in Thailand. I was right. getting thrown jobs in America at me because I spoke Japanese. So this is a language and a culture, you need both, yeah. that you can take with you in Japan, out of Japan. It's just awesome. So just wanted to say that.
The reason for – yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It's Southeast Asia because Japan is finally you know, expanding more and more. Speaking Japanese becomes more and more of an asset, especially for – you know, developing countries like yes. Vietnam or Myanmar right now. Burma
yeah,
is...
Yeah, Japan. You know, Japanese a lot are coming of, heavily into Myanmar.
Yes. That's their, you know, new, you know, stomping ground, I guess.
And we have some Burmese people. I don't know if that's the correct word. Burmese is that... I don't know. I don't want to say the politically incorrect word. But people from Myanmar, I definitely know. I've seen the Burmese in their name coming on our blog. And I've noticed a lot more... Japanese language affinity groups on Facebook from Burma, from Myanmar. It's pretty cool. What's happening.
It is. Yeah. And for these people, an internship is also the perfect way to learn about the culture and the country, you know, and not being just cheap labor, because that's something that is happening. I mean, there are a lot of cheap labor workforce that is imported into this country here, and that's it's not necessarily a good thing, right?
No, it doesn't help anyone. No, it doesn't.
We don't want that.
So let's get back really quick to you had this girl in Romania, and then we got off subject. There were some other people that you wanted to tell us about, some successful stories.
I mean, you can read that on our website. Sure. We have interviews published there, and I don't know, we're about like 10 maybe now. Most of them are, I mean, all of them are, except one, are good stories. We have one not we so thought bad. About, you know, we wanted to give, we called it a negative internship example in Japan. So we wanted to tell people, you know, there's always, you know, two sides to the thing. So sometimes and there's exploitation. Internships itself, you know, it's that stigma that internships are always like you work very long and but you don't really get rewarded, and the company just uses you as cheap labor. But we don't want to have that, you know, to happen. And that's why we also want to make this whole thing more like a quality seal of approval in the future.
Great.
Right now, what is very different from other organizations or companies regarding internships, what we think is really important is an internship doesn't have to be paid. It would be awesome if it is. As long as there's something of compensation, something that you can say, oh, this is a value add that I like, that can be money, that can be transportation costs, it can be experience. As long as both sides agree, the company gets something from some value add and the intern gets some value add. If both, you know, both are happy, we are happy.
Great.
But what we definitely don't want to do is we don't think people who are looking for internships should have to pay for that, for placement.
That's right. That's weird. You're paying to go work. Oh, wow. Well, can you tell us really quickly, like, can you summarize that bad, the negative experience? Just to give us an idea of what kind of happened there? Or was it bad from the company side, or was it from the intern side, or kind of both?
I mean, yeah, it was mostly from the company, I think. It was just about expectation. It was about you have to, an internship should not be that you are working like a full-time employee. That's in European countries, or I think in the States too, there's a clear rule what internship is not, and it's not a full-time job. If you are working a full-time job, you can't be paid or unpaid, especially in like an internship style. So
that's funny, because I know people who are or have been interns who are working, and they're doing zangyo, you know, overtime work just like anybody else.
Yeah, wow. And that should not be the case, because then why can't you get a full-time job?
Well, right? Maybe the company doesn't want to pay them the full-time salary, and maybe this is just a way to get around that, huh?
Yeah, but that's not something we should think or just accept.
Great.
In Japanese themselves, I mean, they're less and less acceptance for overtime in Japan itself. I mean, the laws is
in
always
theory,
like,
in theory, oh, yeah, in yes. theory.
But it's changing. It's one of the things I realized in Japan. A lot of things are changing to the better.
Yes,
right. That's great, and I'm glad that we can be all part of that. Maybe because we're foreigners, we see it a little bit different, right?
Sure.
Because we can see that objective outside of you sometimes, I guess. But that's also up to discussion.
Yeah, it is. I'm curious though. I'm just thinking. Okay, if I'm an audience member, I'm listening to this podcast, and I'm thinking I want to be an intern. Can you give us a general ground rules of what I should do, and maybe some stuff I shouldn't do? Just generally?
Yeah. As I said before, just don't expect sending out your CVs will do the trick. You have to be active. You have to do some research. You have to contact people and, you know, ask questions, research, get informed. On our page, we have some basic tips and tricks for them for what you have to do. And first is, what do you want to do? Many people who contact us or in general, they just know, oh, I want to go to Japan. But that's not enough. Many people that. What do you want to do here? Do you want to learn a language? What's your main goal? I mean, it's tough. You know, young people, sometimes they don't. I was the same. I didn't know what I wanted to do when I was 19 or 18 or whatever. So that's fair enough. But if you are studying and you have a, you know, general direction, then you should at least know what kind of business you want to go to. Make a, you know, a short list. So that's the first thing. It's like assess your skills, find out what you want, what you can do, what you cannot do. Be honest about yourself.
Yes.
Get your CV ready. Sometimes you need it in Japanese for certain companies, right? And then find out, next step is, you know, get informed. Find out everything you can about the place of your dreams, Japan.
Awesome.
And then connect to people, you know, connect to you guys, connect to us, connect to whoever you feel you have a good feeling about that can that could possibly help you. That's the basic rules.
So the three A's again. Can you say the three A's one more time?
Yeah, always actively approach AAA.
Always actively approach. Wow, this is like the theme of our podcast, because exactly, we should have used those words in our last interview, because that was basically what what was going on. You know, forgetting a job, forgetting an internship, forgetting a scholarship, yeah. forgetting any kind of opportunity. Right. We can't just sit there and wait. And, you know, it's funny, you know, we're talking right now, Michael, and you were telling me it wasn't so easy for you to get a job. I remember I had a German client. I'm thinking of him because you're German. he was the tallest, maybe the tallest man I've ever seen in my life. The man must have been 6'9", 6'8". Very tall, man. Just ridiculously tall. And I'm, you know, like 5'5". So I'm thinking in feet here. I'm sorry. I don't know what the meters are. After six years in Japan, I still struggle with these things. I got the kilometers, but I can't do meters. Anyways, I'm short. I am not a tall guy. And this guy is like the size of LeBron James. And he really struggled to find anything, you know. He never really learned the language. I love him to death, you know. But he had experience in photography and these different things, and he was really disappointed. Things didn't work out for him, and I sometimes wonder how he could have done things differently, but I think it's focus. We talk about being active, but it's really important maybe that – would you say that that's correct, that you focus on one industry, you focus on one area, and you try to send your resume out and go to them, whoever that is?
Yeah, and if it doesn't work, then it's not a bad thing to accept defeat or to, you know, accept the setbacks and just go back to the drawing board. If it doesn't work, try something else.
Great.
Frustration is a big part of coming to Japan or living in Japan. I have yet to met the person who had the easiest way of coming to Japan, and even. You know, it's kind of known, but the easiest job to find, not the easiest, sorry, but the one of the most popular jobs is, sure. you know, being an ALT, an assistant language teacher in Japan. And I mean, even them, they have some troubles. Yeah, some struggles. And
It's not that easy. I used to think it was super easy. Exactly. I mean, the way the people talked on the internet, and we've been accused of this too, so I'm not going to pretend that we're any better, but somehow I got the impression, whether they said it or not, I looked at all these companies on Gaijin Pot, and I said, well, that's going to be easy. I'll save trying to get an English teaching job for later. It's going to be a walk in the park. Not so. You know, there's a lot of confusing information, which we try to write about on our blog, and there's different types of English teachers. I had no idea. I thought you just teach in English. There's ALT, like you mentioned. There's Aikawa teachers. There's private teachers. There's college teachers. There's a lot going on. And I imagine with these internships as well, that if you really want to get into any of these fields, then you should kind of not just have a general idea. You should really look into these things and look into specific career field you want to get into. So I think that's pretty, you know, that is pretty standard, but it's amazing how we can forget that. When we go out to look for jobs, can you tell me maybe some, how about when these people are coming to the interview, like they've met with their, or they've been accepted, let's say, as an engineering intern, or I don't know what kind of companies I'm trying to imagine, and they get there, are there some things that they should not be doing in these interviews, or is there kind of a anything you could recommend?
Well, there's no general rule about that, I think, because the way in internships in general work, because there's no real standard, you know, as of yet, you can, it's a bit of a liberty there. You can discuss the terms of your internship with your company, I think, and you know, vice versa. The company can, for example, you're a student in a university in Japan right now as a foreigner, so your time is a little bit limited. So say, oh, you know, I'm only available 3 days a week from that time. So there's no general rule for how an internship should be. There's several things that we think an internship should be. You know, you should learn something new. You should have your own project responsibility. You know, the general idea of an internship should be the same. But of course, you can't just expect in your interview because the system is so new for Japanese companies mostly. You can't expect them to give you everything, give you the whole set of parameters for the whole thing. That's why the companies actually come to us, because they're not really sure. So how should we hire an intern? How does it work? What can we expect? What is the big no? And so we try to help the companies as well. But in general, it's not, you can't be a full, you can't work as a full time employee. That's a general thing. Unless, and that's also sometimes a little bit difficult, unless they tell you in that interview, and that's something you should ask. You should ask, so is there a chance of getting a full-time job after this?
Yes, you should.
That should be clear.
To ask. I would ask that. That's a very good, question to ask.
Some don't need that, because they don't just need to do they have to get their internship credits for the university, and then they go back.
They go home.
Yeah. Some of them, but they want to use that as a stepping stone for a future career in Japan. So, you know, if you have that chance to be invited to an interview for an internship, you should ask that. You should ask, okay, is there a chance if I do good, if I do well, can I become a full-time employee? So that's definitely something you have to decide together with your possible future employer.
Great. You know, and I think I see a lot of people who are in Japan. I mean, it's just crazy how it happens. 6 years. How long have you been in Japan?
Oh, 2 years.
Okay, 2 years. Oh,
living here full, like, yeah, two
cool,
years.
Cool, man. Well, that's good. You're on the start of it. There's still some more culture shock for you. It's amazing. This stuff comes like waves. It comes like waves. You'll be on this moment where you're like, oh, okay, I've understood all the main cultural aspects of this culture, and there's no more culture shock, and then something will hit you. And you realize that you're experiencing the frustration that you mentioned. It's amazing. Elation and culture shock, right?
Yes. Yeah. Many things that you think you are already good
accustomed
with.
To.
Yeah. Your whole world gets turned upside down sometimes. And if you struggle for finding a job or, I don't know, even a relationship sometimes, you know, these things can really get you down. And then you find yourself in a position where you're like, oh, you know, I don't like this country anymore. But it's not really this country's fault.
Right.
It's how you adapt to it and how you see the things and how much you know, basically. You know, it's always the more you know, right?
Right. Especially with those relationships, you know, sometimes you don't know, like, where does the Japanese culture begin and the person end, you know? So are you having problems because they're Japanese and you're German or American, or is it just because it's them? I mean, there's always these confusing things, you know? But I wanted to say that I've met a lot of people, a lot of my senpai and the guy, my former boss. I mean, these people have been here in Japan for two decades, three decades, you know, guys from America and States and Canada and Australia. And it's interesting. A lot of them, when you talk to them, very few of them planned that, you know, it wasn't like, I'm going to go and leave my country and live in Japan for 30 years. It happens.
Yeah.
What I think happens is we get into these opportunities like you're talking about right now with these internships. And you're saying, oh, I'm going to go home. I'm going back to Germany. I'm going back to Poland. I'm going back to the States after this internship. But it's amazing the kind of things that happen in Japan where you see these people end up meeting a mid-level manager that wasn't necessarily someone they were supposed to meet. And the mid-level manager's like, hey, you're cool. Why don't you, what are you doing after this? I'm going back home. Why don't you reconsider? And, you know, I've seen that conversation happen time and time again. My last job as a translator, I was in a project. The whole project began something just like that. My boss, it was just two of us. His project was ending, and it was IT, so everything's project-based. So It's kind of a way, actually, to, you don't have to fire people, right? If your project ends, no more budget. And that's kind of what's happening in the whole IT world, whether it's Japan or anywhere. But he was on a project. The project was ending. And he somehow, through the project, met a manager that wasn't necessarily directly related to what he was doing. They hit it off, probably at a nomikai. And that's how it goes a lot. You know?
So business is made, yeah.
That's how it goes. Still. You know? And my boss, he's not much of a drinker, but he'll go and he'll drink Pepsi and stuff, and he'll drink like one cocktail maybe. But the manager liked him anyways. This guy had a lot of ability and ran a lot of other projects and said, hey, and this is very Japanese, what he's about to say. He said, why don't you propose something? You're leaving in a few months, but why don't you, propose something. That was like basically what he said. He said, I don't have a job for you. Why don't you just make one up and I might consider it. I've heard that kind of thing time and time again. And so my friend, my boss, we became friends. He basically proposed that he'll make a translation team and interpret. And I was the first hire of that. And that's, that is Japan. So,
you have to know the right people at the right positions. But I mean, that goes for any country anywhere, but right. So much more in Japan. I know someone, an Australian friend of mine, he is a huge networker in Japan. He has this thing called Good People.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, and that's basically the name of this network. And it's what it stands for. You may do business with good people, not because you have to do business
with them.
Because you have to make money, or you want to find a job, or on the career ladder. No, because you think it's business done between people, right? So
yeah, absolutely
between two or more. But it's about I like this person for whatever reason, but I want to do business with you. Yeah, so that's
them.
What it's all about. Yeah, and that's so much more important if you're away from home, and we have to trust people.
Absolutely. Can you send me the link to that, and I'll share that. I'll definitely make sure that when we put this in the post, that this will be that we'll send a link for that. That sounds pretty cool.
Sure. It's basically goodpeople.jp.
Goodpeople.jp. I'll write it down too.
And so it's also a LinkedIn thing, because there's a group called Business in Japan. That's actually where I found Verena in the beginning, in a group called Business in Japan. It's the largest English-speaking business group in Japan. It's like, 50,000 members or something.
Oh, wow. And this is what? This is the LinkedIn group, or what is this?
Yeah, so both of them are Good People Business in Japan. And they have events, just like we do. We do events in Tokyo, networking events where people who are looking for internships and companies who look for interns just meet and mingle and find out about themselves. There's a lot of business-related events in Japan, and it's something. If you're a student in Japan and you want to find a job or internship, you have to go through these events, because you meet people, maybe over a drink or food.
That's the way it's done.
You get connected much easier and less formal. After that, maybe you have to go to your interviews and you have to give your meishi and do all that Japanese stuff, but. In the beginning, you get a good feeling about, so what is this person about? Is it a good person? Is it good people?
Are they good people? I like that. That is so Japan. I remember learning years and years ago, before I even understood Japanese, and so now I know what this word means, but there was this book talking about Japanese culture and Japanese cultural words, and one of the words was ba, which I know is basho no ba, place. And that this concept that Japanese can be essentially, there's certain things that they feel comfortable doing and saying in certain places, and other places they just don't feel comfortable. So you can be with Sato-san and Nakajima-san at the office, and if you want to talk about a contentious, difficult subject in your business, the office can be the worst place to do it. And I've seen this, I've experienced it. Japanese people, I believe, will verify for this. The worst place to talk about tough subjects is at the office, because it's just kind of, even if you're just three of you in the room, it's just not done. you know,
Yeah,
unless
I
it's
know what you
needed
mean.
to
Yeah.
be done. You know, it can be, but generally it's much better to be like, okay, Nakajima-san and Sato-san, we're having a little bit of a, it looks like we got an issue here. Hey, do you want to go to the snack? Do you want to go to get, you know, the nomikai? I want to go to izakaya. And then when you've had, they've had their second or third drink, again, it doesn't have to be alcohol. It's just generally, it's just that
Yeah,
looseness.
it's a relaxed, less threatening atmosphere, right?
Right. And then you can laugh and be like, look, man, this is what I think. And that's where the straight talk, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen there.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's,
I totally know what
right.
you mean. Yeah,
that's
yeah. That's
absolutely
why
right.
I like these business events because, I mean, it's not for everyone. It's sometimes, yeah, a lot of people know each other already. So when I first came to Japan, I didn't know anyone, just from faces from LinkedIn. But yeah, it's face marketing. You have to shake some hands. You have to be active. And yeah, I mean, fill the funnel in the end. You some people fall out of the funnel that you can actually, you know, work with. If you don't do it, then nothing happens. It's like winning the lottery, you know.
Right.
You know, you don't win it if you don't play.
Right, right. So that's good. So you're suggesting here that people do go to these events. So you guys do events, you just said. Can you tell us a little bit about
Yes.
some of those events and where maybe we can find out what you're doing?
Yeah. So if you're in Tokyo or in Japan, most of our events, or because the whole team lives in Tokyo. By the way, I should mention that it's not just Verena and me. It's also Derek McNeil, who's from States, who worked in HR for a long time in Japan. He's one of these people living in Japan for a long, long time.
How long?
And we have our Japanese team member.
Okay.
I always call him by his short name, so I should get the right name. So Takashi-san, Takashi Katsumi-san.
Oh, okay.
He's a translator, a tour guide, and he is our, you know, all Japanese soul in the team. So
wow.
We're four, right? Four people.
So you got yourself. So
should
you,
not forget that.
So you got Verena, she started it, and she's from Germany?
She's from Germany, yes.
Okay.
And then I more or less joined because what I bring to the table is a lot of IT experience, websites, design, you name it, social media. Darren is from the States, and he brings not just the English native speaker knowledge, but also, the business contacts and yeah, but and then Katsu, you know, of course, being the
Japanese
part of it, and also having studied law, so he knows about that kind of stuff. He helped us greatly with creating the founding documents. You know, I'm from Germany, so we are experts in bureaucracy, but I came to Japan. It's like, whoa, like we're nothing compared to Japan. That's
the level
they
of bureaucracy,
do love
right?
their papers. Yeah,
they love their papers. And then, so Rina's been in Japan for a while. How long is, you said Darren has been in Japan for a long time? How long? Has
long
he been
time.
There?
Yeah.
Ten some years.
Ten plus. Definitely ten plus. Yeah.
I'm sure.
Maybe.
Well, you can tell us later if you. And that's cool. So you guys bring a lot of experience. It sounds like.
Yeah, combined, and then with all the others, you know, we have a lot of helpers, and I should not forget them. It's you know, we are volunteers. All of us are volunteers. We're not getting paid for this at all.
Awesome.
It is something that comes from the heart, and we have our own interns who are Japanese, Polish, German, everything. We have just have a new one from Australia. She's helping us greatly. So we need help in any case. We always need people who are just saying, "Hey, I like what you guys do. How can I help?" That's how it all started. That's how I started. How Darren started. Takashi-san started. And then one way to find these people, just going back to the events, is we have random events throughout the year at different venues, different locations.
Mm-hmm.
But we have partnered with there's a place in Roppongi called the Pink Cow.
Pink Cow, yeah. They've got a good website. I'll add their website too. And they have a lot of events. I used to go to – I would do meetup events, meetup.com events. So are you guys doing your events on meetup.com? Is that what you're doing? Not really.
We also have a meetup group, but when we do an event, we cross-promote it any platform, basically, yeah.
Anywhere you can.
yeah. So, you know, get as many people as possible. But yeah, so that the thing that we do now every other month, I think, is coming to the Pink Cow, having a little slot talking about Internship Japan, how internships can help, and just get do networking. Yeah.
So we mentioned before in our blog, we talked about. Kind of got some flack for it too, but I think it's true. I don't know what you think, but it can be hard to meet people in Japan, even in Tokyo, which is this really international city. I believe it's the most populated area of on Earth, but it can be really hard to meet people and have genuine connections, you know, that last longer than just hello. It can be really hard, and so for me, going to events. Mostly through meetup.com, was huge. It was a huge way to meet people and, got me out of my box of just meeting people I knew from college that I'd studied abroad with, and that network or people I worked with, I actually got to meet new people, and it can be really hard to do that. So anyways, we wrote about that, and then we created a little guide, but maybe we'll have to add your guys' events onto our resource page, so so people can come to our website and find that.
Yeah, I mean, it's there are many business events or less formal events out there in Tokyo all the time. Some people have that's their business model. That's what they do. They organize events, they promote events. For us, we kind of piggyback on events sometimes. We are in the next Business in Japan event on Monday, actually, 25th. 27th. So we speak about it, and the audience is a little bit different, I guess, because more companies. There's whatever you're looking for in Tokyo, you can always find an event. So our events are more, of course, if we do our own events, it's more about finding internships, right? So companies and interns should find each other. And have a drink or good food.
Good stuff. All right, so we're coming. It's been nearly an hour now. We've had a really good talk, and I think we learned a lot. I learned a lot about internships are not jobs. They're different. They're not full-time jobs. It's a new thing, I guess a new concept or a foreign concept. Maybe new is the wrong word. Foreign concept to Japan, and you guys are working to help at Internship Japan for Japanese companies to learn more about it. And so we in the West and other places, we can go and get these internships. We learned I'm trying to cover what we all learned here. That there are many internship possibilities in Japan, and we got to be active.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to tell us?
Hopefully more, possibilities for internships. So that's where what we are working on. You summed it up pretty nicely. Yeah, makes me feel like, hey, I got my point across.
You did.
Phew.
You did. No, you were very, very to the point, and kept bringing us back, and that was good because you kept bringing us back to what you guys are about.
Thanks.
So that's very.
Yeah, the only thing I can add is. The general topic that we talked about was not just internships, it was more about networking, what it means to be in Japan and what it is to connect to people, and that's what it's all about. The time that you spend during internship, that can be the stepping stone for your future career, wherever it might be. It could be only in Japan for the rest of your life if that's what you want, but it can be, like in your case, in a totally different country, right? Yeah. I don't know if I'm staying in Japan forever. I just don't know. But I will definitely not regret the time that I spent in Japan, because I met very interesting, good people and made connections. And that's what we think is one of the biggest giveaways for biggest value adds for internship. So, networking is that's all about it. And please, connect to us so we can connect you to others and connect us to your contacts, so we can all make this a better place, basically.
awesome. So we'll be in contact here, as we're going to write up a little post about all this, and we'll share the links and we'll share the show notes, so our audience, you guys, can learn about some of the things that Michael had mentioned and learn a little bit more about Internship Japan. And I think this is going to be good for a lot of people. Point is, maybe it is good to start out like an internship, and you see the company culture. There's Japan culture, but then there's your company's culture, and it'd be good to see that so that you can see whether you really want to stay in Japan or not. So all right, well, it's been really good talking to you, Michael, and we'll definitely be in contact here. I may have some more questions for you following up you or Verena to make sure that we correctly are able to explain who you are and portray, express who you are.
Yes. And something that I should have mentioned earlier is, we were glad that you guys exist, that you guys do something that we just don't have the time for. Telling people what it means to be in Japan, what it means to come to Japan, more than we can do, because we're kind of focused on that thing with the internships.
But there's
so much more to being in Japan, from living, from actually finding the real jobs later on. It's so many small things that can be real showstopper in Japan.
Yeah.
So we're glad that we can, all benefit from each other, because we can't, there's no one website on the internet where you can find everything. That's just not possible. It's just
right.
One person cannot manage that. So
it's too much.
So we're glad that we can link to each other and just like, hey, we have a question about that. Just go there. We know these guys. They're good. They know what they're talking about.
Right. And you remind me, I'm so lazy about LinkedIn. I've been on off 10 years. I really should really get back on there. And I guess I didn't take it seriously because none of my Japanese colleagues did, but it's pretty cool, man. Thanks a lot. And we're excited for what you guys are doing, and maybe we'll have you back on, or you or Verena here sometime soon.
Yeah,
and
would be glad.
Love to hear more from you. So we'll be in contact. Thank you very much for coming on. Arigato gozaimasu.
Thank you too.
Dankeshin.
Yes, arigato gozaimasu. Thanks, man.
So, all right. Cool. All right.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.